Hello and welcome to Advisor Gold, the missing allocation, the show where financial professionals learn the why, how, and what to help their clients own physical gold and silver. This podcast is designed to complement the training at goldandsilveradvisors.com. I'm your host, Kerry Morris, and I work with clients and run a financial planning practice every day. We've used physical metals in our financial plans for nearly a decade. I'm here with my co-host and friend, Ryan Long, second generation in the gold and silver business and president of National Gold Consultants, which only promotes their business through a large advisor network. If you're a consumer listening to this podcast, welcome. This is not financial, legal, or tax advice. It's education, folks, and you're welcome to have your advisor reach out to us, or you can email us directly with your questions. In this episode, we answer the question, why is pre-1933 gold and silver the best-kept secret? After listening today, you'll understand why its privacy, performance, and liquidity have combined for over two generations to still make it National Gold Consultants' top pick when wealth protection is the mission. Now, here's my conversation with Ryan. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast today. This is Kerry, and I'm here with my co-host, Ryan, as usual. And as you heard, we're going to answer the question today, why is pre-33 gold and silver the best-kept secret? Why is it the best-kept secret, Ryan? This is a great topic today. We want to drill down and take the next few minutes, and let's just put this to bed.
You know, Kerry, you and I were talking off air, and I was kind of going down memory road myself. You know, I first sunk my teeth into gold and silver around 20 years ago with my father. But my father, you know, years and years and decades before myself, I remember, Kerry, when he was buying precious metals when I was just a young kid, he'd be stocking away, you know, silver piece dollars in his sock drawer, and putting it away for the rainy days. And I never questioned it, Kerry. You know, and if you had Tom Brady teaching you how to throw a spiral football, you're not questioning Tom Brady. You just understand because he's the expert, right?
That's right. Yeah. So you're second generation in the business. You grew up with your mom owning a jewelry store. For those listeners or viewers that don't know, and so you literally grew up around this. And you know, I've always wondered, and it's just the first time I've heard some of this because I asked you off air, like you said, okay, like, was it you or do you remember when you guys discovered that pre-33 gold and silver had these attributes that have remained consistent and seem to provide the best results you can find for wealth protection? And so it was your dad that figured it out, right?
Right. It's that old saying, if something's, you know, not broken, why would you fix it? And this is now looking back, Kerry, my 20 plus years of my experience. And, you know, when you look back growing up, if your dad tells you to do something, you do it without question because he's dad. Well, we've been having the opportunity now over the last, you know, several, you know, tens of years now to look back of, oh, so that's some of the method to the madness of why we're doing it this way. It has so many different attributes, like you mentioned, Kerry, that does not, you know, to the naked eye is not easily looked upon or easily investigated because there's a lot of noise and a lot of misinformation, Kerry. So I hope over the next little while here, we can start to unpack some of those attributes of why pre-33 coins are the best kept secret.
Yeah. So let's say the top three. So we'll in no order, and then we'll put them in order just so the listener and the viewer can just go through this with us. Right. So no privacy is going to hit, you know, if this was like the Family Feud game, right? Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
Privacy is going to turn around right on Family Feud. You're going to get points for that. Yep. So what else? Privacy?
Performance, I would say.
Performance and part of that performance, are we going to include like insulation from a lot of volatility in that as part of the performance?
Kerry, in this environment we're in right now, you know, I'm even telling clients if they're searching for, you know, hey, I'm just looking for the cheapest gold and silver to buy, and I see this XYZ bar of gold versus, you know, the pre-33 coins, I even tell them, you know what, I'd much rather see you in an ETF than a bar of gold and silver, because it doesn't check all of these boxes off of what we're trying to do. So as far as performance goes, you know, when we see this marketplace that we're in right now with a highly volatile, you know, stock market where the spot price of gold and silver are triggered to that spot price. So you have your new modern coins or bars that are also pegged to that spot price. In times of volatility, the last thing we want is, you know, to have to stomach all of these massive ups and downs where the pre-33 has a lot more of a constant because of a small, it's just simple economic principles of supply and demand. They're just not much there.
So that's a big component we're going to include in performance, mm-hmm. as well as long-term capital appreciation over time, right? So yep. we got privacy, we got performance. Is there a third P? Because that would be really cool.
Okay. Liquidation with a P word, right?
Yeah. What would be number three, though? The number three attribute?
I would say liquidity is one of them. Yeah. You know, we have to think of what's important to position now, but at the end of the road, you know, there has to be a time that liquidity needs to happen, whether that's you as the consumer buying that yourself and needing liquidity or passing that on for future generations.
Yeah. So we got privacy, performance, liquidity. And then, you know what, we got to figure out a word for it. But what I was thinking, it's easy to verify that it's legit. So I don't know what word we can put in that, but you know, we're talking about a sovereign minted coin because you yourself brought up bars, right? And so we've got a lot of content out there in different places as far as the podcast and the training, talking about why we don't do bars. You know, easier to counterfeit, hard to fractionalize, not as liquid because you got bigger pieces, but. What would you call that legitimacy piece? You know, that piece where it's a sovereign minted coin that's easy to verify that it's good.
Yeah, I would just, it's as simple as being authentic.
There you go.
Yeah, it's real easy to counterfeit, Carrie, if we just unpack the bars or the new modern coins, something that's shiny, it's something that has not withstood the time or the test of time with circulation, like these pre-33 coins have. You cannot fake circulation, but you can fake and, you know, sugar plate or gold plate, any sort of gold bar, silver bar, and make it look real to the naked eye. And that's going back to the other, you know, thing that we're talking about for liquidity. It's a lot harder to get out of something like that when that could be in the back of someone's mind like mine going, I didn't sell this to this person. How do I know it's real? Do I really want to buy it back? And if so, at how much?
Yeah. So excellent. Excellent. So privacy, performance, liquidity,
yep,
and authenticity. Let's hit those again. So back to privacy. We need to spend a few minutes on this, Ryan, because, you know, the government's the one who decided to draw a line in the sand in pre-33, you know, because if you're a new advisor or you're new to all this, you're like, okay, why 1933? Where does all this go? And even if you try to Google it, you kind of learn about it, but let's talk about how that leads to privacy.
Yeah. So the fast history lesson of this, Carrie, President Roosevelt, I remember back in the 30s, we had the Great Depression, right? And, you know, everything was going south. They didn't have the ability back then to, like we're doing now, to turn on the printing presses and let's print $5 trillion in a year to try to buy our way out of this. So what did he do? Well, he used a modern day technique that goes back to the Roman emperors, Roman Empire type days, where they actually confiscated gold and silver. The Roman Empire days, what they did was when you entered the Colosseum, they took a little, you know, call a little saw off your gold coin, kept the clippings, and then they
like
made
a hole punch. They would hole punch your gold.
But then they made more coins, and that hole punch coin spent the same as a new coin that they just minted. So that was modern day printing, or, you know, creating inflation. Well, what Roosevelt did in 33, something similar, they confiscated gold and silver, gave you face value. So an ounce of gold was worth $20. They gave you a $20 bill, revalued the price of gold a year later to 40. So they doubled the price of gold, which created inflation, and all goods and services, because we were tied to that and pegged to that, had to keep up for it. So that 1933 line in the sand, that was when the last time they confiscated gold and silver, meaning now as Americans, as consumers, we can legally hold this product again. And because they have not, taken back any coins newer than 1933, those are considered a government entity like a commodity, versus the previous coins that were previously confiscated, they're considered a currency and a collectible. That's the huge word. So currency and collectibles are what really make something private and not track to government.
Okay, so got that. But what it's not, though, is collectible in the sense of like shiny coin that's graded inside of a plastic hard wrapper, and the value really depends on some rating agency or grading, right? So that what you just said, say those two words again.
Well,
collectible
and currency, correct. As far as collectible goes, this goes down, you know, part of the method of the pre-33s. When we talk about all of our advisor training at goldandsilveradvisors.com, many different things of, you know, different categorizing of coins. We're not talking about, you know, high-end collectibles here. We just talk about general circulated. We don't care if something's shiny or something's dirty, right? That's where some of these, you know, some of these retail companies try to get you, and they try to have a specific grade or have a subjective versus objective opinion on a quality. We just want to get into as much gold and silver coins as our dollar can buy us without tying these up into dollar-based premiums.
And so the privacy part of it comes in the fact that they just, they get treated differently when being bought and sold, right? So there's not a requirement to report. Frankly, nobody knows who buys them and who owns them, right? And so we're not saying any of this from a tax situation. We're not going to we're not going to address taxation on this video or this podcast. But we're talking about, because of that privacy, that people love that, right? Americans love that. That creates a demand for them, right? And so what, the higher something's in demand, then the higher value that it has and price that it has, right?
Right. Well, and one more thing to hit this point home, Carrie, when I want to speak to layman's terms to my individual clients, when I start talking about that privacy, I always talk about that money under your mattress scenario, your cash under your mattress. So the scenario I give them is, okay, we already talked about the allocation percentage, 10 to 15% of your investable assets. Okay. And I like to say, you write a check out for that, or it's cash or whatever it is. And all we're doing is we're converting that digit in your bank account into physical hard currency. Just like if I was to bring a dollar bill into my Wells Fargo and I want two rolls of nickels for that dollar bill, I go in and out of that bank without any paper trail, without any documentation, because I went from currency to currency. All you're doing here is you're going currency in your bank account to pre-1933 currency. And it's like that proverbial cash under your mattress.
But it's worth more than the face value. So yes. It's worth more than your two rolls of nickels are actually worth, you know, like two rolls of $100 bills.
Right.
So that part we have to make clear. All right. So that privacy leads to the performance we talked about. So let's talk about the pre-33 marketplace and why, how the performance side of it. And again, if we say performance to a bunch of investment advisors and different, even just consumers out there, they're thinking about their 401k statement or an investment statement. And is it going up? Is it going up? Is it going down? There's a lot more to the word performance in this, right? So how does that privacy lead to the performance that we're looking for to serve as wealth protection?
Well, it comes down to, Carrie, in our training again at goldandsilveradvisors.com, how often do we talk about the proper mindset for positioning, right? Well, obviously, if performance isn't going to be there, why in the world would we do it to begin with? So it comes down to that counterbalance effect that the pre-33 coins have compared to your other dollar-based assets. But performance is big, and this is part of the method to our madness of why the pre-33 stuff is important compared to the just generic bars or coins or ETFs. But so if I give you an example, Carrie, we want to be battle tested on this, not just happen over the last few years, just a complete whimsical type of examples. We can go back to all of the major crashes and corrections. I'll just go back to the most recent one of our COVID crash, March of 2020. You know, when we have the spot price of gold and silver, when we have, which is, you know, it's tied to the ETF market. So, you know, our stock market also went down, what did we go, 30-some percent down? Mm-hmm. Well, the spot price did that as well. Your bars, your other generic coins went down just as much as that spot price during that time. Whereas because of the pre-33's attributes, they actually went up in price, you know, a 20-some percent actual return. And the biggest difference here is the example I give is it's like weather. You know, if the storm clouds are around us, right, the gold and silver market should be reacting and responding. Well, when the weather is great, it's sunny, there isn't any storm cloud around us, yeah, that pre-33 coins, that demand premium, they're going to drop a little bit closer to that spot price because it's the human nature. The best time for flood insurance is when? Before the flood arrives. But most people get it during the eye of the hurricane's an unfortunate problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned the words demand premium. I know we've covered this in other podcasts where we did spot versus physical in general. Today, we're drilling down on pre-33. But we need to define that real quick. So demand premium, everybody, is basically what is the number of dollars, how much above spot price is that particular coin going any given day? And so what Ryan's saying is that in good times, in good weather, when, you know, happy days are here again, the stock market's blasting up and everybody's happy with everything that's going on in their dollar-based accounts and everything, then that amount above spot that pre-30 have is going to be at its lowest point, really. It's still going to be above spot, but, you know, I've seen it probably as low as $3, $4, or $5, right, Ryan? Like, you know, back in, say, 2013, 14, 15, when kind of spot kind of settled in after the big boom and up to 2011. And then you go all the way up to when the storm clouds are hitting and the hurricanes coming of a big crash like in 2020. And all of a sudden you saw that premium over spot to be what? I'll let you quote that one.
I mean, you can see premiums even right now, Kerry, at 100% over spot right now. And that's not uncommon that we're seeing all across the board because of, you know, and how we have to do that is there's so much demand out there. All we're doing out there on a daily basis is we're continuing to raise our bids in order to acquire enough product. And I will have to say, you know, if not the largest, one of the largest, you know, companies in the entire country that, you know, my company is that we deal exclusively with pre-33. So we have to keep raising our bids accordingly up and down in order to get product. And right now, Kerry, I mean, just in the last couple of weeks, we've had to raise our gold premiums up about another 10% just in the last 2 weeks. And the spot price hasn't even moved just to get product.
Yeah. So just to kind of reiterate that, so you've got bids in the marketplace, and this is like the wholesale marketplace. This is like buying big quantities, right?
Yeah.
You've got those bids out there every day. So it's really the most accurate form of pricing that there is because it's a very organic marketplace, right? So if demand is high, then the price is higher. If demand is low, then the price goes down. And that's how you know where it's at, right?
Yeah, precisely. I mean, in this environment, we're pretty much ever since 2020, Kerry, the demand has never been light. I mean, the money that's coming out of just the ditches and troves right now is, again, it's the flood insurance example of when the best time is. Well, storm clouds are upon us.
Yeah. So there's no place you can just go and look up what the current price is of pre-33 and it's ever changing. So that would be a dangerous thing anyways. You can go online and Google it, right? And so tell everybody for a second, kind of, if you Google it, because I know the answer, but I want to hear you say it. Tell them, you know, if you try to Google pre-33, what are some of the booby traps that are out there when you're looking at pricing on that?
Oh, man, where do I begin with that one? Well, Kerry, I mean, call it dozens of online retailers that you're going to find that pay for ads, pay for clickbait. And then once you type that in, then you have banner ads coming up. It's just the Google crawler that continues with that. So that's the slippery slope to begin with when you're researching that. But a lot of these companies that are out there, and this is part of how we sunk our teeth, or I sunk my teeth years ago with my call center prior to 15 plus years ago, Kerry, is we'd actually be purchasing gold and silver leads from other companies. And, you know, so there's, if price is seeming too good to be true, it usually is. There's a catch to it. This gold and silver industry by itself being unregulated, being most of these companies are unlicensed. I mean, they can do with your information as they please. They can have loss leaders. They can have different bait and switch mentalities. You go to checkout and all of a sudden they have all your information. And an hour later they go, actually, we can't fulfill that order. That happens all over the place, Kerry. And that's what we're trying to avoid as advisors.
So they might have lost leaders saying pre-33 cost this much, but then you start putting in, like, let's say you want to buy 1,000 silver pre-33 dollars. All of a sudden it says, oh, max quantity 50 or something like that, yep. Right? Because they've already planned on losing money on that, right? So that happens out there a lot. Now let's contrast that with the way your methodology has worked for years, Ryan, is you've got the bids out in the marketplace. And we'll just, you know, let's just take the open the door to this for a second for everybody, because I love your pricing methodology. So you've got the bid in the marketplace. Marketplace is going up and it's going down. You can't control that. You're just trying to participate in it. So you purchase, let's say, at XYZ price in the marketplace. And what I like is that whether that XYZ is up and then the next 3 days later, its PDQ price is down, you're applying the same type of pricing structure to each of those It's the same margin, basically, to cover your costs, to take care of your company, and so forth and so on. Your cost in what you need to make is the same across the board. So that gets applied which when you buy it lower, gets applied evenly when you buy it higher. So that's why I consider the fact that if you find, you know, good deals on the wholesale market, that really gets transferred over to the end client because your margins all stay the same. Am I correct in my thinking?
Yeah, no, you're right on it. One thing to add to it is we always like to carry a substantial floating inventory on hand, you know, and it's a very large number because we deal with, you know, hundreds, actually around 1500 advisors like you all on this right now. So we have to have enough to keep up with demand. So I'm always out there in the market. I'm changing my bids 4 to 5 times a day based upon how much flowing inventory we're getting in or how much flowing inventory is going out. You know, it's really changed, Carrie, in the last 2 to 2.5 years because we're no longer seeing, you know, our average transaction of $30,000-$40,000 a transaction. We're hitting north of our average transaction is over 6 figures now because there's large money moving into it, finally grasping the concept of what 10 to 15% should do during volatile times.
Yeah, excellent. So that's privacy, performance. You know, now let's talk about what's next?
Liquidity.
Yeah, let's talk about liquidity.
So I mentioned earlier, Carrie, you know, somebody, you know, comes to us and says, hey, I've got these 100-ounce bars of gold and silver, or I've got these Cougarans, or, you know, these types of 1-ounce gold bar, whatever you name it, the list goes on. And they go, I want to liquidate. And what's my value? And I go, well, should I give them the what it should be value or what I'm going to be buying it for? My mother was a jeweler for 30 years. And you look across the streets and all these retail jewelry shops, half of them probably say cash for gold, right?
What
are they doing? They're buying all of this scrap gold. They're buying even gold and silver coins. People come to them sometimes, but they're buying it for 10 cents on the dollar. And the rationale behind that is not because they're crooks or not because they're trying to get rich quick. It's because there is a lot of counterfeit out there and you can't see it to the naked eye. And that's included in the jewelry world, you know? Mm-hmm. So when you look at that, these jewelers, they bring in these cash for gold, then they turn it into these refiners. Refiner goes, well, this is counterfeit and this wasn't. And it's a balancing game. So in the back of our minds, when somebody wants to liquidate these gold bars, XYZ products, I see counterfeit on a, you know, almost on a weekly basis, Carrie.
Wow.
And it's very hard to detect to your naked eye until you start drilling into it and still you start to hurt the integrity of the actual product. You know, there's a lot of times that I won't even buy back that product because there's too much risk that's associated with it.
Yeah, you guys should see his little laboratory. Basically, he's kind of got a little laboratory where he tests all this stuff and some pretty high-end equipment that you have.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's some of these local retail shops or even online retail shops. They don't have the wherewithal, you know, to have the testing devices to have, and that's not even 100% accurate, Carrie. You know, you go to a grocery store and give them $100 bill and they write this little black marker on there. And if it turns the right, that's only one way to detect it. Right. There's technology out there that people get, you know, pretty creative with. So going back to liquidity and why these pre-33 coins are so important for not only the nows, that, you know, the obviously your protection, your privacy, and your, you know, your production of the price, but your liquidity on this product is extremely important because of going back to you cannot fake circulation. All these coins have stood the test of time of, you know, especially the gold coins, call them some of them 150 years old. I mean, the proof's in the pudding when it comes to that. That's when you get 100% of the market value when you actually do want to liquidate. And it's a very quick 24 to 48 hour turnaround process.
Yeah. And the thing I was thinking about on that, Ryan, is that everybody in the chain has that same trust and belief in that coin, in that pre-33 sovereign minted coin. So it's not like, you know, you're buying it and then you can't turn around and sell it if you want to or that kind of thing. And so that liquidity is solid because of those things you just mentioned, right?
Right. Exactly. It has a common bond and a common trust over the entire industry of this is sovereign. This is US coins. These are the old cowboy coins that we all held, you know, 150 years ago.
Yeah. And then that's linked to authenticity and it all kind of works together. We kind of just covered that too, really. Yep. So, okay. So in wrapping up, you know, pre 33 gold and silver. We can't use it in IRAs. You know, that's another podcast that's out there. Listen to that for what the IRS requires in IRAs. But the pre 33 is, you know, what we haven't talked about yet that always comes up is like storage, Ryan.
Sure. So
let's hit the top of that real quick.
I would say 99 out of 100 individuals carry opt to have it in their possession, right?
Yeah.
Possession being 9/10 of the law is huge. As far as storage goes, I mean, if you hold out your index finger carry for gold, I mean, that's going to be about $50,000 of gold.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, well, what about silver? You know, is it bulky? And, you know, am I going to have to... A shoebox is $100,000 of silver. that's all it is. You know, so you can go in factors of shoeboxes for as far as storage goes.
Yeah. It's a funny process to watch in clients' faces and stuff because at first they have this little mind monster going on there of like, you know, oh man, what if I, you know, and all that. I think instantly they just picture like somebody coming in and taking it or something.
Right.
And so, but as soon as I say, well, let's think about this for a second, you know, if somebody was going to come in your house, first of all, you know, people don't need to know you have it, but if somebody was going to come in your house, would they ever take the time to dig back in an old dirty, the worst closet you have with the back corners packed in rags and dirty rags and all your junk? I really don't think they're going to, and all of a sudden their light bulb goes off and they're like, I guess you're right. You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, and some people have a safe, they want a safe and that's so forth. And, but then at the end of the day, if they really don't want that and they want the attributes of the pre 33, then they can pay for some storage offsite, right?
Yeah. It's, I mean, like I said, 99 out of 100 choose to have it in their possession because they get rid of that mind monster and they go, it can make sense.
Yeah.
But there is that 1 in 100 and we set up, you know, third party storage for them in the depository, or they can set it up themselves in their own local areas at the bank or at your own little depository.
Yeah. If they're doing $500,000, $750K or $1 million worth, right? That's kind of where you see that kind of stuff more than anything, right?
Yeah. We don't see it in the small purchases pretty much ever. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So that's storage. And then we mentioned liquidity, but just to be clear, and I cover this in the 3 10-minute videos, everybody, that answers the 5 key questions about gold and silver. But as far as that liquidity goes, Ryan's always had a policy at his company that he would always buy back and at full value. Like he doesn't try to make money on the buyback from any client that he has helped acquire them. And so he only makes his money on the front end. And the reason he can do that and doesn't feel like he needs to make money on the back end is because he has an ongoing demand for those things. So he's going to treat your seller, your client, or you, if you're the seller, he's going to treat you just like a seller in the marketplace that he's got bids out in every day. Right.
Correct.
Yep. And I only know this because we've been working together for a decade. Right.
That's all.
So I would have loved to have had a video like this 10 years ago that I could sit and watch or a podcast to listen to. So what have we not covered before we wrap this up, Ryan?
You know, I love the word mind monster because you've used it now and I've used it once now too. In this environment we're in, Carrie, and I don't see this changing for the foreseeable future. You know, the largest difference between pre 33 right now and just the spot price or the newer modern coins and bars, we're seeing a larger and larger gap between the two. They're starting to really decouple away from each other. So don't use that as a mind monster to say, hey, did I miss the boat? Or if your preposition to your clients is all about the price of it. And this, no. Remember the mindset for proper positioning. Don't let that decoupling away deter you away from anything. In my humble opinion, this is only the beginning because we're not seeing, nobody in the right mind is selling any sort of gold and silver back unless they have dire financial circumstances. This is the time to be buying.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, well, folks, that is the question. Why is pre 1933 gold and silver the best kept secret? It really is. You know, it's like the big retailers, they're off trying to make all this money on these high markups of these like private minted coins and stuff. And from what I've witnessed myself personally, they'll sprinkle in just enough legit stuff to kind of make it feel good, you know, some gold eagles in there. But then they have all this weird hybrid stuff, you know, the Bohemian Rhapsody gold coin or something, who knows?
Yeah.
And so that's why it's the best kept secret, because man, the volatility controls that we've seen, the responsiveness, These things happen over cycles. I try to always tell people nothing's ever perfect. It's not like the market drops today and then it shoots up tomorrow. It's going to go over a cycle. But the way it's responded all through history, the pre-33, if Ryan knew that there was a better way to go out there, he would have already done it. But it's just, it's earned its keep, hasn't it, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, if I could find literally, another product.
Pun intended,
yeah. It's earning its keep.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have a great rest of the day. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.